Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. So glad you've joined me and Dr. Alice Benton and Milan Yurkovich. So if you're right there by yourself in your car, home, wherever, it's the four of us. Here we are. And how you guys doing?
I'm good. It's great to be with you. And Alice, as always a joy.
Yeah. And I'm about to be feeling better and easier to be around because I have a psychiatric appointment this afternoon.
Oh, that'll be great. I'm really glad about that. Yeah. So, I don't know what that's all about.
I want to tell you because I struggle with anxiety.
Yes.
And so every so often, I go back on an antidepressant for the anxiety, Zoloft. And sometimes I don't think I need it anymore, so I go off again for a while to see how I do without it. But when that edge of anxiety comes back and I start to struggle with that irritability and feeling too overwhelmed and it's affecting me and my family, it's time to try it again. So I'm actually really looking forward to this appointment because I know it works for me.
Well, we are believers in the stuff that we talk about here, unlike other places that they don't really believe in what we we do believe in people getting better. And, you know, one of our favorite psychiatrists here is Dr. Daniel Amen. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at his book, The End of Mental Illness, and there's a quote in there. He quotes Eric Hoffer, whoever Eric Hoffer is. And listen to this quote. It says, "In times of profound change, the learners inherit the earth." And then he says this, "While the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists." Now, let's just take that apart. So what he's saying is, when you're learning and you're part of change, well, you inherit the earth. You get all the benefits if you're flexible and changing. But he's saying those people who think they're in this position of learnedness and they know it all, boy, they are absolutely equipped to work and thrive in a world that passed them by. So it's just, I love that quote, and it's a great challenge to all of us, I think, to be open to change. And I would say, maybe it's not a sign of mental illness, but it's a sign of maybe mental dilemma when we reach a point and we're no longer willing to make a change.
It helps to expect and know that change is coming. If I get too comfortable in my routine, and I love routine, I mean, I'm not sort of braced and prepared, ready, that change will eventually come. Then it can be so disturbing and unsettling for me when it hits. Yeah. So I like that quote, too, because it helps me prepare for the inevitable.
Well, in everything we do, we love to help people change. And so to that end, if you would like to talk with us, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be in the studio for two solid hours, and we would love to talk with you. 1-800-229-3000. Now, you know, this past weekend, we had Every Man's Battle on Saturday. We had a lot of guys, and, you know, we were really nervous to move our online intensives and workshops to our in-person to online. Well, we were so surprised, and we've been so encouraged to hear people say it's safe and it's intimate. And with the Zoom, they like this first time thing of meeting everybody, they felt like they could be even more open about themselves. So I love that. And oh my goodness, we'll have Larry come in and tell us some of the results of that intensive. Every man's battle. We've got intimacy in marriage coming up pretty soon in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that. That's our next one. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, we are back. Really glad you're with us here. We're asking you that if you want to ask us anything, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to go to Shirley right off the top here from Pittsburgh, and she listens on the internet, and you know, there are all sorts of new ways that you can hear this program. Before we get to her, I'll just mention that if you miss the live show, they're all archived on newlife.com. You can watch it on the app anytime or listen to it. You can watch on YouTube, the YouTube channel, and I'll be on Facebook Live at 5 p.m. with Facebook. I'm going through a marriage, 8 things we want to do in our marriage. But right now we're going to talk to Shirley at 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Shirley. How are you?
You don't want to
talk? Hi, Shirley.
I'm doing well. Hi, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on in your life today? Yep, Shirley?
Okay, well, hi.
Hi.
I'm calling because my ex-husband and I are getting back together.
Okay.
We're getting married again in February. And
What was it that set you guys apart? What was it that split you up?
His family and control issues. Him trying to control me.
Okay.
So we pretty much handled the control issues. Now it's just a family thing.
Uh-huh.
And his family never liked me since 2012 while we were married. And now that we're back together, his family told him, well, as long as you're with Shirley and she's at your house, because we have two houses, then we're not going to come to your house. And his son is getting married in September.
Yeah.
And his son told him, well, Shirley can't come to the wedding.
Okay. So, quick question for you, Shirley. If I was talking with them, we were interviewing them, what would they say would be the reason that they wouldn't want you around? I mean, it's one thing to, you know, say, oh, well, I wish he was married to somebody else or something. But this kind of reaction, what would they say would be the reason for that?
I have no idea. They never liked me from the beginning. When we would go on family vacations with his children, they would turn their back to me. They wouldn't speak to me. They'll walk right past me without saying hello.
Okay. So they've really shunned you. Now, here's what I'm wondering. Surely he has heard them say, here's why we're not going to support who you're married to or who you're getting back with. What does he say is the reason?
It's,
I mean, I can't imagine them just doing that because they want to be mean.
He won't say why, but I believe because we're an interracial couple. He's white and I'm black.
Okay. All right. So what's the question for us? How could we help you? And I'm so sorry for what you're going through. That's just horrible.
Well, he asked me to call because what happened was, earlier today, I mentioned to him how I was hurt about, you know, not being invited to the wedding. And he came home and then threw a piece of paper at me and said, you know, call these people. And so now I'm speaking to you, and he won't even come on the phone. He won't even say anything. And this is an ongoing pattern. Whenever we come to a disagreement, then he shuts down.
Yeah.
Or he'll say, well, go talk to your parents or go talk to your friends and then come back to me or go talk to a counselor. I said, but you're right here in front of me. We should be able to talk this out right now.
Right. Okay.
I said, we don't need really. Sometimes you may need a third party to come in, you know, to get more insight. But a lot of times, people should be able to talk to each other and talk things out.
Okay, Shirley. So what we needed to hear was, what we needed to hear was kind of the, what is the problem? And I'm going to start with Mylon and get his thoughts on your situation and your husband's reaction to what's going on with his family. And then him never opening up and telling you what he thinks is the problem. Mylan, we'll start with you.
Well, Shirley, this is very difficult, and I'm so sorry you're going through it. It's painful, and I heard what you said earlier, that it's hurtful, and I want you to know that that matters to me, and that you feel hurt, and because that's not a pleasant thing to go through. But it would appear to me, Shirley, that your bigger problem is the avoidance and the dismissiveness of your husband, and his reluctance to face reality and to discuss it and to enter into relationship with you, like you said, as opposed to handing you off to other people. And that avoidance is alarming to me. And that would be a very big concern. Now, February is a ways off, and I don't know what the draw is for your reunification or your remarriage to him, but I would certainly think that this, you've already said it, this is very important to you to have a partner you can talk with, yeah, and who will listen to you and right, will process things with you. And I would really want to work on that as the most important core issue, as opposed to all of the other collateral things that are associated with him that he's not defending you or helping you with. He's leaving you on your own. And so he's, if you will, abandoning you on every front. Now, do you want to reunify with a person like that? That's a question I would have for you, to just stop and think about that.
Well, what do you think? I mean, we're questioning why you're getting back together.
I'm thinking about... Well, as you're saying all this, it's coming clear, because there have been times when I told him that he has left me behind,
mm-hmm,
or he doesn't defend me.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I speak up, then I'm the person who's causing the problem.
Yeah.
If I try to defend myself, I'm the person causing the problem. And he just, but it's, and I said it to him before, anyone can do and say anything they want to me, and you'll do nothing.
Right.
But the minute I speak up to defend myself, then I'm the one that's the problem. I'm the one that caused the problem.
Shirley,
you know, it's all
Shirley,
on me, but you never, yeah. So
that's the point I'm getting at. That's the point I'm getting at, Shirley.
Yeah.
You have a voice. He doesn't. Now, do you want to marry a voiceless person? He is voiceless with respect to you at home. He is avoidant, and he isn't in his family system. That's his role. He doesn't talk. He doesn't resist. He doesn't put up a hand and say stop. He doesn't know how to do that. And then you say something because you have a voice, and boom, the family doesn't like that.
And Shirley, sister, I'm concerned about you, because I think there's something deep down inside of you that somewhat agrees with being treated this way. And perhaps you think this is as good as it gets. You deserve this for some reason. And my guess is that you received some mistreatment probably pretty early on in life that leaves you tolerating too much mistreatment now in adult life. For some reason, this marriage ended, but you're drawn back. Even if he's less controlling than he was before, you're walking into a world of hurt here. And I wonder what it is about you that thinks that's okay and you're supposed to do that, or you're not worth more than that.
So what's the answer to that?
I believe that I think that maybe he would change and then see my point of view when I say, I don't agree with this, or I don't like this. I would think, we both said we need to change who we are from what we were before. But this thing about not protecting me, that's the thing that's really killing me.
So Shirley, everything you've told us so far, and granted it's just a slice, but everything you've told us so far has been evidence that he is not changing in these very important ways that you need the change, and that he's not even willing to change. You, Shirley, go talk with a therapist. I'm not willing to. So it's your decision now, given that he's given you all this evidence. This is who he apparently wants to be going forward, even after February when you get married. Are you willing to live with that much more pain?
No.
Yeah, you know, we really believe in marriage, and we believe in repair and reconciliation. So what I would want you to be able to say to him, you know, I was hoping that we could get back together and your family would be supportive. And if they weren't supportive, I was hoping that you would say to them, well, if you can't be with us, I can't abandon her. So she's done nothing wrong but love me. So I'm going to have to not be part of you until you accept the person that I've chosen to be married to. See, that's what a man would do, standing up for his wife rather than supporting a very sick family system that would, you've done nothing wrong, and they reject you. You know, as I saw this quote by Joyce Meyer this weekend, it's not about skin, it's about sin. You know, so we don't evaluate people by the color of their skin. We evaluate about the quality of their lives, is what she's saying. And so I feel really bad for you, and I'm glad you called, because I think, in the least, you need to really, really think about, here is what it would take between now and February for us to put this back together. And you're not going to change his family. He can't change his family, but he can change his alliance. If he's going to marry you, he needs to be committed to you, not to them. Okay?
Shirley, there is one additional piece here. It's concerning that you have no idea why they disapprove of you.
That's right.
And you may have power there, because if no one has approached them, if neither you nor your husband have said, what did I do? Is there anything that I did? Of course I'm imperfect. And I know a couple of my character flaws. Did any of them affect you so much that you don't want anything to do with me? I want to know and I want to listen. Romans 12:18 tells us, as much as it depends on us, it is our work to try to make peace with everyone. Now, that's as much as it depends on you, Shirley. So that question should at least be asked, because maybe there is something about you that you have control over, some character defect that you can work on yourself. And that might be a clincher. That might be a change you can make.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad you called. And I'm going to send you what I think is the best handbook on marriage ever. It's How We Love. And it is the foundation of what we do around here in our marriage intensives. And I, you know, people that are not married could actually, because we're doing it online, people that are engaged could be part of our October event. And I would just suggest that for you. I would suggest for both of you that maybe that'd be the least thing you could say he could do. But I'm hoping and praying that from here we've encouraged you to encourage him to make some great changes that need to be made.
Steve, and could I make a quick comment?
Yes, please do.
Well, there's this fundamental truth in the scriptures that for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave or join his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The word leave means to rupture or sever, and the word to cleave is an old English word that means to bond or weld together. And so it doesn't say commingle all the families. It says leave that family. And of course we're going to have a relationship with them if they're healthy. But so the idea of leaving means to leave their authority and influence behind, to create your new family unit that is independent from them. And this is something that's very missed these days in terms of preparing people for marriage. They don't understand the concept of really severing that tie and creating a unification with the person. Like you said, Steve, where she is the new alliance. She's the new important one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we spend a lot of time with Shirley because there's a message for every person.
That's right.
It's listening. And the message to you is, I need to rethink my loyalties. I need to think my alliances. Am I really putting my spouse above my family? Is it my problem, not really my family's problem, that I haven't stood up for the person I've married? We'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and really glad you're with us here today. Milan Yurkovich, author of How We Love, Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, Steve Arterburn here. And let's go right back to our calls, 1-800-229-3000. We'll go to Stephanie and see what she has to say. Hi, Stephanie. Gaithersburg is the place she listens from, Gaithersburg, Maryland, and WAVA is the station. How are you? What's going on in your life?
I'm doing fine. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, sure can.
Very good. I first want to say hello to all of you, but I'm calling to commend Dr. Alice right out the gate. I thank you so much, Dr. Alice, for what you shared with us about your appointment today and the purpose of it. My heart is filled with joy and love for you right now. My husband committed suicide 4 years ago. He went out of state and did it. I had no idea he was suffering. I know he was drinking, hiding it, but I did not know that mental illness was part of it. As soon as we found out, he left in October. He committed suicide in February 2016. And I can tell you, right after he disappeared, I literally ran to a therapist. I needed to get help because we had never been apart so long. And then when I found out what he did, I was with that therapist maybe for 2 years. And I got myself together. He helped me, thank God. And God helped me first and foremost. But I just wanted to commend you, Dr. Alice. I'm a black woman born in the 50s, and I know during the time of me growing up, my mother suffered also mental illness. I didn't know that's what it was. I know she was on, back then it was Valium. You know, people in my, black people tend, even to now, do not go and see therapists. More likely, they would rather just not talk about it. It's taboo. So I wanted to just talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask you a quick question. I was just reading some research. There was a study of widows, and half of the people in the study, the husband died of natural causes. The other half in the study, the widow's mate committed suicide. So the man killed himself like your husband. The study revealed that after about a year, the health of the of both groups, natural death, suicide, was about the same. But later on, more health problems showed up with the person whose husband committed suicide because they just didn't want to talk about it anymore. After about a year, they just didn't want to bring it up. And they were making the point that talking, simply talking about it, is so important, and when it's suicide, you just don't want to. There's some shame and all. Did you find that to be true in your case or not?
The only thing that I suffered from when he passed, my daughter got married 2 months after, and then in July of the same year, I found out I had congestive heart failure. And they called it lonely heart syndrome or something to that effect. I didn't have a heart attack and I didn't have a stroke. But speaking of it, talking about it helped me a lot. I'm very happy. I loved him. I never felt it was my fault. I knew it was not my fault. He reached out to me twice before it happened, not knowing that that's what he was doing. But he let me know once he reached out and said, I love you, pray for me. And then the week before he did it, which was the week before Thanksgiving, he said, pray for me. I knew it wasn't me. I never took it on as a guilt. And it saddens me when I hear that some people do and they never get over it. But blessed be to God, my wonderful God, who I love so much, has gotten me through it. And I can speak on it without any sadness. I'm sad because I miss him. But I understand what he fell into.
Okay. All right. Well, let me send you this Take Your Life Back book that I wrote with Dr. Dave Stoop. I hope that's going to be a blessing to you, and I'm really glad you called to encourage Alice. So Alice, her question was, you know, or asking us to talk more about the need for therapy. I have a therapist. I've said many times, my wife and I go to marriage counseling on a regular basis. Any thoughts you want to add, Alice?
Stephanie, thank you for your kind words. I feel you to be a kindred spirit, as we both recognize. We still need help and more help. I'm so sorry for what you have been through. I was praying before the radio and asking if God wanted me to bring anything up, and it felt like he put that on my heart to bring up, so I wonder if he had that for you, Steph. And I know for myself what can hold me back in the times that I don't get the help that I need. I can be very prideful. I don't want to have to go back in to get help. Haven't I done enough already? Or I'm blind to my own struggle. I'm blind and ignorant to my own weakness. And I think the enemy has a hand in that, and he loves to keep us confused and pointing the finger at other people. It's the fault of those around me. It's not my own. When I first read Psalm 19:12, how can I know my own errors? God, cleanse me from my secret faults. That there are things about myself that are wrong with me that I don't even know about. But our God will gently reveal them to us if we give him permission to. And then he'll lead us to the right help if we're also open to that and open to seeking it. So I'm so proud of you for all the therapy that you have gone through to get help for your loss.
Now, it doesn't take a genius to know that some people that need it the most think it's the least. So, Mylon, you have a thought here?
Well, I do, because I wanted to thank Stephanie for calling in to share what she shared about her community and the reluctance of that community to engage in this, you know, help, you know, getting help. And this is how change takes place. Somebody rises up with a voice and says, we need to.
That's right.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us. If you want to ask a question of our panel here, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Joining us for a couple of minutes, Larry Sonnenberg. Hey, Larry, you were at Everyman's Battle this weekend. How did that go?
Steve, I was. It was a great workshop. I mean, I feel like I say that every time, but these guys were more engaged than usual, the attendees. They were asking questions, good questions. Jason gives powerful answers that are really helpful, not just for the guys, but everybody else in the session. And the counselors had some very good connections within their group. Guys that process the main sessions in their group, and then brothers supporting one another. Hmm. One guy would be struggling with something, the counselor said, and the other guys in the group would come alongside and help him see it, understand it, so, you know, just care for him. And so and one of the unique things about our workshops, we see God put these groups together. It's really evident. Especially yesterday or Saturday, one counselor noted in the morning when he looked at his roster, he said, I saw 2 single guys. I saw a couple guys that were divorced or separated. I forgot. And then he said there were 2 or 3 married guys. And he said, I wonder how this is going to go. And he got in the group, and initially he thought this isn't really good because he had a wide range of age. Mm-hmm. You know, some fairly older guys and young guys. but he said it was the best group he's ever had. He said these guys loved on each other, and when they learned they're going to be together for four more weeks and sustain victory, they were really excited. So there's 55 guys today that are more hopeful. They're seeing life differently. One particular guy said that in group, he had faulted his wife with so much in their marriage, and even after his betrayal with how she responded. And he said, I never understood before my role in her pain and my responsibility to care for her, consider her as someone God gave to me to love and care for. He really experienced the renewing of your mind. So, folks, that's why we seek your support. When people intersect with this ministry, whether it's the workshops, counselors, books, radio program, life changes. And we want to continue it. We need your support to help make that happen. Joining Club New Life would be a great way. Individual gift would be a great way. You can do it online. Call 800-NEW-LIFE. But thank you. Thank you, everybody who is supporting New Life.
Well, thank you, Larry, for being part of that. And Larry's so faithful. He joins all of these intensives and helps us really understand what's going on every weekend that we do an intensive. If you need help with an intensive, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We've got marriage. We've got Restore for Women, Every Man's Battle. But if you could help us to spread this and share this with other people, it's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us. We would love to talk with you. All right, how about we talk over here to Kristen? We'll talk with Kristen from Jacksonville. WTRJ is the station. Hi, Kristen, you are on. How you doing?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I was calling in response to you just talked with Shirley a little earlier about her family not accepting her. And
yes.
I was just calling kind of from the other point of view. My mom passed away in April of 2015 after my parents had been married about 50 years. And shortly after she passed away, a woman manipulated my father pretty much into marrying her. And our entire family, including his siblings, have all kind of tried to intervene and tell him to back off a little bit. He married her within 9 months after my mom passed away. And she continues to manipulate him. We went to counseling. He went to counseling with her, and the counselor told them that there was nothing that they could do because she would no longer comply with the things that she felt that they needed to work on as a couple. And then I went to the counselor, and the counselor told me that the things that she's told me, she accused me of being a non-Christian because of my concerns.
Mm. Well,
and,
let me ask you this. We get it. It's a rough situation. What were you hoping we could answer for you here?
I want to know, this is what I was getting to, is that the counselor mentioned that, you know, in the Bible where it talks about the disciples were told that when they were not accepted to wipe the dust off of their feet, and that, as you had mentioned, that now his new bond is now with his new wife, so I should back off of that situation. But at the same time, I feel that he's being manipulated and abused. And I have backed off, but I don't want to lose my relationship with my father either. So how do I maintain a relationship with my father while not condoning the behavior of his new wife?
Hmm. Well, you know, Mylon is a specialist in impossible situations here. And so we'll go to Mylon and Alice and see what they're thinking here. But this really is a tough one because, well, your father, you don't control him, and he has a mind of his own.
Well, I think that is a key right there, Steve. He has a mind of his own, and I hear a tremendous amount from you, Kristen, of evaluating her motives and intentions, and defending your dad, and he's the victim, and she's the perpetrator. And, you know, how do we protect Dad? But evidently he doesn't want to be protected. And that's where you, as his adult daughter, need to allow him to separate and not protect him and let him have his life. Now, if it fails on its own, that's another thing. But, you know, your dad and mom were married for 50 years. That's a long time. And then 9 months is pretty quick to reconnect with someone. It's not uncommon, but it's pretty quick. And so is it a good choice? I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't put in that circumstance myself, and neither were you. And how lonely a person can be, and then the choices they make. And often it's never going to satisfy the family, Kristen. He could perhaps never marry anybody that would fill the shoes and the role of your mom. And so I would back off and just be very careful what I say in terms of trying to ascribe motives and intentions to your new stepmother. I'd be very careful with that, because you're just going to create a wedge with your dad.
That's what you don't want.
I understand that. And that's one, right. And that's what I've tried to do, is back off after speaking with the counselor. And that, I know you think that I'm ascribing these motives, but she has mentioned even to her mother, her own mother, that has talked to my dad about, she's marrying you with the wrong intention. She's marrying somebody because she wants to be taken care of. And the fact that her own mom has come with the same concerns bothers me, but I understand what you're saying. But I want to be able to maintain a relationship with my dad.
Then
I don't know how to back maintain a relationship with him.
Tell your dad, I want to have a relationship with you, and how are we going to do this?
Now, I don't want to shock you here, but I have to believe if the marriage that you described between your dad and your mom was a wonderful marriage, and then he gets remarried in 9 months, I think part of his motives might be wanting to be taken care of too, because he just doesn't want to be alone. And it doesn't mean he abandoned all the memories of your mom so quickly. But so often we see men marrying fast because they want to be taken care of. So you might consider that this is working out really well for both of them, if her motive was to be taken care of, because I see a lot of men marrying quite quickly. Alice, what are your thoughts?
Oh, Kristen, I hear your concern for your dad. You're very worried about him. And if this woman is abusing him, then you may have to take action if he's unsafe, if he's physically, emotionally, financially unsafe. An extreme step that at times we need to take, if he's over 65, is having a social worker evaluate the situation to determine if he is being abused and if he doesn't have the ability to protect himself. So an elder abuse protection hotline is one avenue that sometimes must be taken. If it's not to that level, then I think maintaining, giving both truth briefly and once, and then giving a lot of grace. So that might look like telling dad, you know, I'm worried, and I think that you're being taken advantage of. I even think you're being abused. So I want to help if I can. Is there anything you would let me do to help? And if you're okay with everything that's going on, then I'm not going to speak about this anymore unless I think it's getting worse, because I want to be in relationship with you. So give him your concern, but then you have to a certain extent, accept the limits that he places. Don't do anything. I'm fine. I'm happy. I don't want you to take any action. But one other power that you have here. I'm thinking about Matthew 5:23, that if our brother has something against us, we're to go and try to resolve that situation. Maybe there's a little truth in her complaint about you. Perhaps you haven't been acting in a very Christian-like way to her. And so going to ask her about that, tell me about it. What did I do that was so unchristian? I want to hear. I want to find out. That might mend a big part of the relationship.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I just say this, you know, Alice is a therapist, and she'd probably have to see somebody 5 or 6 times before she might say, hey, maybe what's true here. But we don't have 5 or 6 weeks, so we try to tell you the tough stuff, but I hope it's helpful to you. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, it's all about you being helped and then you helping us help other people. That's why we're in existence today, because people that we've helped have helped us. And I hope that if we've helped you, you'll support us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you want to join us, we're going to do another program after this. It's 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. 1,000. Let's go to Pam from Jacksonville, and she is one of those folks that listens on the podcast. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
Well, I've listened to your show, and for over 10 years, I have, my husband and I have attended Intimacy in Marriage. He's been to EMB. He just did the alumni on Saturday, the virtual one, and I've been to Restore. So I'll start with that. We've had problems for 6 years. We've been together for eight. For 6 years, we've had problems, and he finally admitted to me 2 years ago that it was porn. And I had asked him all along, and he had told me no, no, no. But I knew something was wrong, and so he finally admitted to that 2 years ago. And he went to EMB, and he went to EMB before he admitted that to me. So he came back and gave me that, and then I went to Restore. But I still knew something wasn't. There was still something that wasn't right, and I just kept begging him for answers, and I just knew something wasn't right. Mm. So 7 days ago. 7 days ago, I found an email, an inappropriate email from someone, which opened the door to him confessing to me of 6 years of multiple women.
Oh, it's so sad.
All during the day at lunch, we both work, you know, 9-to-5 type jobs. So it was always at lunch or mid-afternoon. So I truly did not suspect him of being with another woman because I just didn't imagine that he had the time because he was always with me. And so now it's all out on the table. You know, I went through the first 3 days of more grief and pain that I ever imagined I could feel.
When was the last time he was with one of these people?
1 year ago, August.
Okay.
So he said that when he came back from EMB, he started something with someone new after he came back from EMB. And all of these are an extension of the type of pornography that he watched. And so he says that it's been 1 year. He's going to do the full disclosure, so I guess I'll know if he's telling me the truth soon. But I guess my question for you is, you know, because we're pretty educated on all of this, and I've read so many books, and I knew in my heart that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And he finally said that the burden of the secrets was more than he could take. And, you know, we've had a couple of
So what was the question for us? Because we're almost out of time.
So,
I was interested in the whole story.
I guess my question is that, you know, what do I do with all this pain? I'm on a crazy roller coaster. We're still in the house together. We did actually, from not being intimate for 6 years, he had a blood test in the whole bit. I wouldn't let him touch me.
Okay, so let us give you some help here because we are just about out of time. Alice, what are you thinking?
Oh, Pam, I'm really aching for you and what you have just newly discovered, just a deeper, fresher wound to what you already had. And I'm going to guess that you tend to stay in your head rather than getting into your heart, and probably because there's been too much pain to feel. I think that because I've heard you laugh, kind of a nervous laugh, a couple times while you've been talking about this broken, broken heart, trampled on heart. And so I wonder if that happens to you as well, even when you're in therapy, in groups, that it can be hard to access the pain because it's overwhelming and to feel that and let that emotion flow. And I think that's where your work is. And so hopefully you stayed in touch with the Restore group, the Sustained Healing group, but you may need to go back again because it's like you're going through this all over again with new information. And the most healing comes from allowing those emotions in your heart to come up and to tell your story with other women that can understand you.
Yes, and you know, I'm so glad you said that, Alice, because I was thinking he should go back to every man's back. You should, you know, part of the thing to do with your pain is be sure it moves him to do something more than he's done, and maybe it begins with, okay, we go back through every man's battle, and then we come back out and do it differently. Mylon, you have a final comment here before we go?
Well, I believe you have a biblical grounds for divorce, and that you should at least create a separation where you're not in the same house together. And if he really wants you back, Pam, that he proves and evidences that you're worthy enough to him that he would work so hard to clean his life up. He disrespected you and didn't love you or consider you. And unless you make a very strong stand and let him know it's completely and utterly unacceptable, and that he's going to have to work hard to earn his way back, somewhere along the line, he has to be afraid also of you, of hurting you and hurting the Lord. You know, I love the ocean. I love it, but I'm also afraid of it. And there's a tension there, where to be careful, et cetera. And so you have to have that in relationships, even with the Lord. She'll love the Lord your God, and there's also a fear we have of the Lord. And I would just consider that, Steve.
Yeah, and we've said many times here, a person in her situation, if she doesn't require more, if she doesn't stand up and say no, and then she ceases to exist in his mind, and then that kind of sets it up again to either total distance or another relapse back into the old behavior. So you really need to be demanding some change. And I do think sometimes you can't get a guy's attention like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these other men at Every Man's Battle, that wasn't enough. You weren't enough. All these things. So sometimes it is a separation that finally gets this person's attention. I'm really glad that you called, and I'm going to send Worthy of Her Trust to you, and I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that that's going to be helpful to you. Now, we are so grateful for those that have called. If you want to join us on the next program, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be in the studio for another hour. 1-800-229-3000, sometimes easier to get through in the second hour. In the meantime, if you can help us, please, a gift of any amount, I'm going to send you this wonderful CD we put together. It's the Help and Hope series, and this is the best of Dr. Amen. And we've collected the advice that he's given over radio, put it together and with him and the co-host, and we hope and pray that you'll access this great wisdom all in one place. It's our way of saying thank you and a gift of any amount. I'll send that to you. We've talked to you about joining Club New Life 30 a month, and we send you this entire library of things here by our co-host, authors of these great books. I hope you'll access that. And then take a look. Every Man's Battle is online September the 12th. Intimacy and Marriage is coming in October. And I hope you'll join me on Facebook Live, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And then also Thursday at 11 Eastern, every Thursday at 11, Life Recovery Today with Steve Arterburn. Thank you for listening. And call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. The next program, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Mylon. See you next time, right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.